Welcome back to Shattering This. It's my pleasure to introduce one of my very favorite people. A man I think has more courage and compassion than any million people that you'll find anywhere else. He is the best informed and the most rational spokesperson in the world on what is the single most important topic today, Islam and terrorism. Hello, IQ. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
IQ, about I guess it was just a week ago, we talked about the connection between what I think is the single most important formula to explain the universe in the way that it exists, E equals MC squared, that energy and matter are the same thing, just not the same amount of the same thing. E equals MC squared, is the ultimate explanation of the nature of the universe. And what I shared with our listeners is that you came up with the E equals MC squared of Islam, a very simple statement that explains the essence of Islam. And if you understand this very simple statement, then you will understand everything Islam has ever done, its past, its present, and what it will do in the future. And that is to describe Islam as what? What is it?
An organized crime syndicate.
And you came to that conclusion because of Badr, right?
Correct. The first battle of Muhammad to plunder. The first act of plunder by Muhammad, which continues for 1400 years and continues today as we speak by his followers.
Doesn't the Quran itself say that Muhammad sought the attack on the merchants, his former neighbors, not militants, but his former neighbors, the merchants, that he sought to do it because he wanted plunder, period. He wanted to rob them. Doesn't the Quran affirm that?
Of course, in chapter 8, in Arabic it's called Al-Anfal, which means plunder or booty. A whole chapter that Muhammad recited, because he created it, to justify what he did, literally.
Right. And in it, he has his God say, yeah, you wanted to go there strictly for the plunder, but Allah, who really is Muhammad, he wanted to make a point. And his point was that one of his spokespeople needs to make a great slaughter in the land prior to kidnapping people for ransom.
Correct. Yes.
All right. When you read that Muhammad not only murdered these civilian merchants, not only robbed them, not only enslaved them, but mutilated their bodies and gloated over them. When you read the Hadith and the Quran, both explain what happened at Badr and that it was nothing but a robbery. How is it possible to view Islam as a religion, or Islam as anything worthwhile?
Well, you can't. If you're a logical, decent human being, even if you had two brain cells of logic, you couldn't possibly come to any conclusion except that Islam is not a religion. It's a cult belief system, and it's the vilest belief system the world has ever known. That's all there is to it, really.
That's all there is to it. Right. And since the 8th surah is the first recorded act in Islam in the first year of the Islamic era, the Islamic era begins with Badr. And since the Quran details it, and an entire 8th surah is devoted to it, is it possible to sweep it aside and say, you know, that's really not germane to Islam?
It's impossible. Because the hadiths, all of them, from the earliest to the latest, agree and explain that what it was. It was for plunder. It says it was for plunder. The hadith itself says it is for plunder.
Okay. If I were to challenge you on this, I mean, the Quran and the hadith both say exactly the same thing, that it was for plunder, and it turned out to be both for plunder, which Allah authorized, and for mass murder and mutilation and enslavement. If I were to say, all right, IQ, so it started that way, but, you know, lots of things start off a little askew, and maybe there was another justification that we just aren't aware of. And it got better from there. Did it get better from there?
Impossible. Muhammad conducted or executed himself or allowed other people to execute 75 similar attacks, ambushes against people who never knew that they had an enemy. They always attacked civilians.
Yeah, that was the point. Does the Quran ever say, or the Hadith ever say, that Muhammad fought a armed foe, a foe that was trained as an army or a militia?
Never. Not a single
thing. So we always brought a militia against them.
Well, this is what ISIS does. This is what Al-Shabaab do. This is what Boko Haram. Who do they attack? Women, children, people in a mall. What did the Palestinians attack? Aircraft, civilian aircraft.
Right. That's the reason why I've said, and I want to continue to stress this point. Your explanation of Islam as an organized crime syndicate explains what Islam was, what Islam is, and what Islam will continue to be. If you understand that formula, you will understand exactly what ISIS has done, is doing, and will do. You understand what Boko Haram has done, is doing, and will do. You understand what Al-Qaeda has done. I can't say is doing and will do because Al-Qaeda doesn't exist anymore. But that's the bottom line. All you need to do is understand the E equals MC squared of Islam. Islam is an organized crime syndicate, and everything makes sense. When the Quran talks about Muhammad's subsequent raids, for example, the Quraysh and Kabar, were they better or worse than Badr?
They were worse than Badr. Well, take an example in the Medina, the Quraysh tribe. Muhammad and his thugs murdered, literally slaughtered, butchered, between, depending on which hadith you want to hear, between 600 to 900 men of the and young boys of the Quraysh tribe. Unarmed civilians, all of every single one of them.
How did they murder them, according to the oldest Islamic testimony?
They dug a trench in Medina and chopped off their heads one at a time.
In front of their daughters, their wives, and their sons.
Children,
correct?
Yeah. And it's recorded. I mean, we're not inventing these things. It is recorded in the hadith of Islam.
And when Muhammad did that, didn't he pick the prettiest Jewish woman and rape her?
Yeah, that's in Khaybar, Safiya.
But he did it three times. All three times that Muhammad murdered the men and enslaved the children, all three times, in a row that he does this act.
Yes.
All three times he picked the prettiest of the women and raped her.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that you bring up Kabar, and I would agree that Kabar is the most lurid story. On Kabar, Muhammad is shown by torturing the woman's husband, literally taking a iron, heating it up in the fire, and pushing it into the man's chest and twirling it around in his chest so that he could find where their treasure was buried. And he murders the man, this woman's father. And he enslaves this woman's children. And then Muhammad takes her away and rapes her.
But it was not the only time. In according to the hadith, Muhammad had sex with 61 women. Some of them volunteered, but most of them were taken in and raped, literally raped.
Right.
After all, Aisha, at the age of 9, she was raped. Because at the age of 9, she's not of age of consent. She's not an adult. He raped her.
And how old was Muhammad at the time?
53.
Correct. That is correct. So, rather than getting better, Islam simply devolved from Badr. And that being the case, IQ, how is it that anyone can find any fault with your explanation, your formula? Islam is an organized crime syndicate. Full stop. It's nothing more than that.
Well, it's impossible for anyone to come against me. It's like anyone to come against you is impossible also. It's not because we are geniuses. It's because we studied the subject. We know more about Islam than any imam on planet Earth. And you know what? I don't think I'm exaggerating.
No. You know, I would make my... Well, I believe that you know more about Islam than any imam on earth and any Muslim on earth. I wouldn't say that of myself. I would say that of myself that I understand Islam better than any Muslim, better than any imam ever has. I understand the religion. I know it, and you do too. You know exactly what it is. Understanding is slightly different than knowing. You have to know to understand. But we know exactly who Muhammad was, based on his own words and deeds. We know exactly what Islam is.
Islam should be put on trial.
It should.
We should. The humanity, we, Ummat al-Kuffar, the 80% of humanity who is not Muslim, we should put Islam on trial. Because it's a crime, they commit crimes against humanity. And anybody who can Google the word crimes against humanity, you will find it in the charter, in the human charter, and you'll find out that every single characteristic mentioned is exactly what Muhammad and the Muslims do.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's what we're leading to. After we have this next break, I want to, the producer of this show, Scott, has a question for you, and I'm going to have you, if you wouldn't mind, answer his question. And then we're going to devote ourselves to the what's called crimes against humanity and demonstrate that this is Islam today. But I just wanted to begin by stressing that your formula, Islam is an organized crime syndicate, is the E equals MC squared of the universe. It explains everything you need to know about the religion. There's nothing more to know other than that. Other than to compare Islam to the mafia is to disparage the mafia. Welcome back to Shattering This. I ended the last segment, IQ, by saying that it was unfair to compare Islam to the mafia because it besmirches the mafia. It degrades the mafia. Now, that sounds really pejorative. And how in the world could a guy say that Islam is so bad that by comparison the mafia is good? And that by making the equation of international crime syndicate to as a designation of Islam, you ought not directly compare it to the mafia because it's worse than the mafia in every possible way.
I could actually answer that. And it actually, I can actually tie it into my question.
Yes.
With the mafia, you would get something from it. You know, you'd ask them for something, and they would supply it, and they would expect something in return later on. And then if you didn't do that, they weren't threatening. They would threaten you, but not your family and everybody you knew.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually ties into my question for you, IQ. Here in Minneapolis, we have a lot of people that are leaving here to go join ISIS and that. And it's we have the second highest population of Somalis in the world outside of Somalia. And the thing that confuses me is that these people have left Somalia to get away from this. These are people that have left those regions to get away from it. How are they appealing to these people to get them to come back?
Your question is amazingly important. And this is what every Western mind cannot grasp. Although they escaped from their hellhole in Somalia, their intention is to bring their hellhole to America. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it isn't ridiculous. Before we started the talk, we had a chat, you and I, for 2 seconds. And immediately I told you they are Somalis, before you even talk to me. Let me tell you, I know more about what's happening in the United States of America than most Americans. Recently, only a few days ago, Somali Muslims were very upset with one of their group who alerted the FBI about others trying to join ISIS. The Somali community is angry because he violates the kind of solidarity propounded in Islam. What does this solidarity say? The Muslim Ummah, that means the nation of Muslims, means the community of the faithful. It is a unique bond that has no similar example under any other political or religious system in the world. It is a belonging to ideals, that's from their point of view, which bring Muslims together in an eternal brotherhood, locked completely against any other allegiances and loyalties. Any barriers of nationhood, ethnicity, geography, and language are obliterated. What does that mean? Muslims are only loyal to Muslims. On many, and in fact, on every single radio station I talk to in the United States, I tell them, Islam does not allow any Muslim to be loyal citizen to the American people or the European people or to any people who are not Muslim. That's what it says.
Right.
So they go, they come to America. The Boston bombers, what were they? Well, they were from Chechnya or Dagestan, the same crap. They came to America. The Americans gave them shelter, they gave them food, they gave them assistance, they gave them a life. What did they do in return? Murder civilian Americans. I know it is difficult for you to understand, but it shouldn't be difficult. Hundreds of thousands of them are coming to Europe. They're flooding Europe. And the stupid European leaders are doing very little to stop them. What's happening in Germany? Germany's got 3 million Muslims. Not a single one of them can be loyal citizen. Not one. Because the minute a Muslim is loyal to any system which is not Islamic, he's a traitor.
The largest Islamic population in Europe is in France. What is the epicenter of Islamic terrorism in Europe?
And they're capturing again and again, every single day, more and more Muslims. How many can they put in prison?
All right.
We have to stop them coming in.
But think of a crime syndicate so diabolical that it would convince someone that has left a literal hellhole. I mean, Somalia has got to be the worst place on planet Earth to live. Because, and Somalia, last time I checked, was 99.99% Muslim.
Correct.
And there is no place that's worse to live than Somalia. And it's because of the influence of Islam. And yet, having left that and come to the United States, Islam is so corrosive that it would cause young Muslim men and women, and probably equal numbers, to leave America and to go back to a place that is 99.99% Muslim, in Syria. And in Syria, if they're joining the Islamic State, who are they going to kill as suicide bombers? Muslims. They're lured to their death to kill fellow Muslims. That's how corrosive this crime syndicate is. We'll be back with IQ in a moment. IQ Al-Rasuli was the author of a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, the world's foremost expert on the religion of Islam. I'd ask you, IQ, what does the Quran say in the ninth surah to a person pretending to be a Muslim, but just calling themselves a Muslim, who is unwilling to join in the robbing, is unwilling to be a criminal and engage in the criminal enterprise of Islam?
It's called an apostate. A murtad, somebody who is not following Muhammad, and then he's subject to death and destruction.
So now you've gone full circle on me. You've actually gone to the fourth surah as well. So the ninth surah calls a Muslim who is unwilling to engage in the criminal conduct of Islam, unwilling to engage in jihad, which is terrorism against civilians for the purpose of robbing them. It says that they become hypocrites, and as hypocrites, they cease to be Muslims.
Correct.
All right. So the Quran says that if you are not a criminal, then you cannot call yourself a Muslim. That's the ninth
sir. That means, sorry, what it means, if you're not a jihadi Muslim, you cannot call yourself a Muslim.
That is correct. Yeah, according to the Quran. Is there any other arbitrators, any other interpretation of Islam that would have greater merit, greater credibility than the Quran?
No. Impossible. No.
And so, is it not true that the entire Ninth Surah, from beginning to end, was written for one particular purpose, which is to tell Muslims that either they capitulate and engage in jihad and act as terrorists and join the criminal robbing spree, or they can't call themselves a Muslim?
That's exactly what it means.
There's nothing more to the Ninth Surah than that. I mean, that's the entirety of the Ninth Surah from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's justification to murder and slaughter people who are not Muslim.
And a clear line in the sand that says if you're not a jihadi criminal and supporting the jihadi criminals, then you are not a Muslim.
Correct. That's why the people who are in Minnesota, the Somalis, although they escaped from their hellhole in Somalia, they came to be parasitic, and I use the word parasitic. Muslims are parasites. I know
always
it sounds offensive.
Always have been. Yeah. Always have been.
I know. It sounds offensive, but the fact is that is exactly what they are. Parasitic. What does that mean? They live off the people who gave them shelter to destroy them. And that's what they're doing all over the world.
Look at Muhammad. When he went to Yathrib, today's Medina, he was a parasite on the Jewish establishment there, the three Jewish tribes, which may have been Judaized Arabs, but the three practicing Jewish tribes there, they were productive.
Correct.
Muhammad and his goons never worked a day. They never did anything in terms of honest labor. They only survived by being a parasite on those existing communities. And then what did they do to those three tribes to thank them for supporting them?
They massacred a lot of them, but the others were exiled.
And so slavery. Massacred, enslaved, raped, or just completely exiled with their property and everything being robbed.
And they did the same thing to the Christian Arabs. Exactly the same thing.
Yes.
Those who refused to accept Muhammad, and they had every right not to accept Muhammad, they kept their faith with Jesus. Nonetheless, that's exactly what happened to them. And when Muhammad finished with the most productive people on the peninsula of Arabia, who were the Jews and the Christians, he turned his attention outside Arabia.
Correct. So, what does the Fourth Surah, you've already mentioned it, but what does the Fourth Surah say about a person who claims to be a Muslim, who is now labeled by the Quran and not a Muslim because they don't engage in jihad, and so they're an apostate? What does the Fourth Surah say that Muslims must do to someone who doesn't wish to be a Muslim anymore?
Butcher them. Slaughter them. Crucify them. Cut them to pieces.
What happens if you're in the mafia and you decide you just don't want to play mafia anymore?
They kill you.
They kill you. But to compare Islam to the mafia is a little unfair because does the mafia rape their victims' wives and daughters?
Never.
Does the mafia condone pedophilia?
No.
Does the mafia kidnap for ransom?
No.
Does the mafia deploy terrorism as a primary tactic?
Not against civilians in general. No, only against particular people.
Against their rivals. Yeah, against fellow mafia members, different mafia families. And then it's not terrorism because they're not attacking civilians.
No.
So it's not terrorism. They don't even use terrorism as a tactic, period, much less as their primary tactic.
Okay.
Does the mafia demand that you join them or die?
No.
Does the mafia fight unarmed women and children?
No.
Does Islam do all of these things? So
all
it's not fair to compare the mafia to Islam. The Islam is infinitely worse than the mafia.
There's no question about that one. I mean, when you're comparing the mafia to Islam, you're only comparing it as an organized crime syndicate. But you're not comparing it in the way they go about doing it. No, you can't.
Yeah. Crimes against humanity is defined by the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. Memorandum said are particularly odious offenses in that they constitute a serious attack on human dignity or grave humiliation or degradation of human beings.
Right.
Is there any humiliation or degradation associated with Islam?
All the time, from the very beginning of Muhammad's time.
What does the Quran say about a person who doesn't want to capitulate to this demonic and depraved disease called Islam if they wish to maintain their current religion or political underpinning? They don't want to become a Muslim. What does the Quran say must be done to them?
Well, here we have three categories, three choices.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to convert to Islam, they have to be subject to Sharia law in humiliation and degradation forever.
And doesn't the Quran actually say that they have to...
Doesn't the Quran actually say,
not only do they have to pay an onerous tax that deprives them of their wealth so that they are robbed, Islam, after all, is parasitic, but doesn't it say that they have to surrender an abject humility and know that they have been subjugated?
Chapter 9, At-Tawbah, verse 29. Anybody who wants to check it, it's there.
Right. It says absolute humility. They have to be degraded. So Islam is all about the degradation of human beings, isn't it?
Correct. That's what, by the way, the Turkish Empire, under the Ottoman Empire, when the Christians were submitting the jizya, mostly they were Jews, there were very few Jews, but mostly Christian, they used to hit them on the head. And they had to have their heads bowed literally to the ground when they paid the money.
Right.
That's exactly what they used to do.
Right. Which is exactly what the Quran tells them to do.
Correct. And this is exactly what's prohibited in the article we are discussing.
Right. So they are, these are not isolated or sporadic events, but are part of either a government policy, although the perpetrators need not identify themselves with the policy, or a wide practice of atrocities tolerated or condoned by a government or de facto authority. In this particular case, all of this is attributable to Islam. So let's begin. First thing is murder, massacres. Islam been involved in any significant number of murders and massacres, to your knowledge?
Well, from Badr, 1400 years ago,
right,
and today as we speak, everywhere in the Muslim world, against Christians and Muslims, every single day.
Now, how many approximately Muslims, either Sunni or Shia Muslims, have been murdered by the opposite group in Iraq and Syria over the past decade?
Good God. At least 2-3 million people. At least 2-3 million.
Yeah. Would you categorize that as mass murder? 2-3 million people?
Yes, it is mass murder.
How about massacre?
When they blow themselves up or they blow people up in a mosque or in a shopping center, all of these people are civilians.
In the Sudan, where the fundamentalist Islamic government of the Sudan perpetrated genocide against the animus and Christian Africans in the south, and they killed between 2.5 to 3 million of them over a 20-year period. Could that be looked at as anything other than mass murder, genocide, massacre?
It can't be done any other way. It can't be called anything else. It's impossible.
And who are the perpetrators?
Muslims.
Right. When the Ottoman Empire lost their battles to the Russians, and rather than the Muslims coming back with stolen booty and kidnapped women to rape from the Russians as they were told that they were going to, and they got their clock cleaned by the Russians, and they came back, and because they didn't get any booty or any babes, and they came back through the Armenian Christian villages, what did they do?
Massacre them. Literally, genocide.
And the Abominator won't. He has just gone out just recently and said, I will not call it genocide.
I know. He should be executed.
he should
sorry
be.
To say that.
Should,
I know
yeah.
I shouldn't say that about the President of the United States of America
yeah.
under any circumstances. But really, under yeah. every circumstance, he should be executed. First, he will never associate Islam with terrorism. And now yeah. he will not associate the extermination of 1.5 million Christians in Armenia with genocide.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
Yeah, he is treasonous to this country, and he is a mass murderer. He has he has called for the murder of over 4,000 people.
Yeah.
So yes, that is the appropriate consequence for his behavior. In with Boko Haram and Christian little girls, does the human experimentation ring a bell? Where these girls are tortured to the point that they submit to being raped?
Yes, they're dehumanized mm-hmm. and literally they're experimented upon. Yes.
Yeah.
Sexually, of
when
course.
The two girls that actually survived, that were left. To die from their wounds in Nigeria as a direct result of the Boko Haram, who kidnapped now thousands of these little girls and using them as sex toys. Were they beaten to a pulp almost to death?
Yes.
And did they say to all of the girls, you either surrender to being raped or we're going to beat you to death? We're going to punish you?
Yes.
And isn't exactly what the Islamic State is saying to the few girls that have escaped of the Zoroastrians?
Correct. Same way. Islam all the time.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I've lost my feed, so maybe Scott just turned down the music, so I hope we're not having technical difficulties. IQ, I want to read three more things that are on the list of the statements of crime syndicates, if you will, of crimes against humanity. The next three are death squads, military use of children, and kidnappings. Is there any use of these three tactics apart from Islam today?
Not a single one of them. No, all of them are part and parcel of Islam.
Is there any Islamic organization today engaged in fighting, like the Islamic State, like the Taliban, like Boko Haram, like the lads in Somalia? Is there any one of them that does not recruit and use children to fight?
All of them, including Hamas of Gaza.
So they actually kidnap little children. They arm little children, and they direct little children to be their fighters. This is Boko Haram, the Islamic State, Hamas, all of them.
Yeah.
And all of them, without exception, particularly Boko Haram and the Islamic State, engage in kidnapping, don't they?
Yes.
Mass kidnapping.
Yes. But this is Islam.
And with Boko Haram and with the lads in Somalia,
Al-Shabaab,
right? Yeah, it's the lads. And by the way, they call themselves the lads because they are best known for recruiting little children to do their heinous behaviors.
Correct.
It means the little children.
Yes.
Now. Are there any of them that do not use imprisonment and slavery as part of their core activity?
It's called unjust imprisonment and slavery. That's core the activity of Islam.
Right.
Has always been since Muhammad.
All the three of them have, four of them, five of them have death squads, don't they?
Correct.
So what we're describing here in terms of the most inhuman of all possible behaviors is the primary characteristics, the signature, if you will, of Islam.
Of Muhammad, yes.
Yeah, Muhammad and Islam. And yes. Has Islam ever been any different than using kidnappings, children in the military, extrajudicial punishments, human degradation, mass murder, massacres, and the slave trade. Has Islam ever been any different than that?
Never. By the way, it continues as we speak, exactly the same.
Right. It's the primary tactic of the Islamic State, of Boko Haram, of Al-Shabaab, of Hamas, of all of these organizations. That is what they do. And why did they do it? IQ.
By the way, before we can turn off, cannibalism, yeah. Torture, rape, political,
right.
Racial, and religious persecution. Yeah. Cannibalism, we saw it in what's happening by the Muslims when they cut off the organs of their enemy and eat it raw.
Al-Nusra.
On television.
Yeah, Al-Nusra in Syria.
In Syria, yeah.
Right. Do they racially profile?
Racially profile who?
They racially profile everybody. And that's the entire massacre in the Darfur region shows that it's a racial profiling because they're fellow Muslims that they're killing.
Absolutely.
And Arab Muslims kill Persian Muslims because Arab Muslims think they're superior to the Persian Muslims. It's racial profiling.
And the Persian Muslims know that they are superior to the Arab Muslims.
One of the things here says religious persecution. Doesn't religious persecution and Islam, aren't they like synonymous?
They are synonymous. Of course they are synonymous. The most intolerant belief system the world has ever known is Islam.
And torture and rape.
50% of humanity.
Torture and rape. Every time a child escapes the Islamic State, every time a child escapes Boko Haram, don't they describe the brutal nature of the tortures they endured?
Of course.
When a woman gets free of a Saudi Arabian household, doesn't she explain how she was tortured by the royal family?
They do, but nobody listens.
No one seems
especially
to care.
The women of the West, the so-called liberated women of the West, they do nothing about what women in Islam, 750 million of them, suffer. They do nothing.
Genital sexual mutilation of hundreds of millions of little Muslim girls.
Yeah.
This is a crime syndicate. IQ, you're a genius.